Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for your presence. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. I ask, Father, for your Holy Spirit to come and rest upon us so heavily tonight as this message goes forth. I pray that every ear will be open to your word. I pray that you will get the glory, the honor, in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello. Is anyone familiar with the Final Quest book? Anybody? Sister Lane? This book is amazing. Christopher's been trying to get me to read this book for several months, and I couldn't do it. When I finally heard this book, maybe about a week and a half ago, I got so excited. I emailed Pastor Barbara. I said, Pastor Barbara, if they can only get this, I'm still trying to get it. But it's very, very enlightening. I highly suggest for everyone to get this book who does not have it. This Final Quest book is basically written by Rick Joyner. He had visions and dreams and impressions that he got from God, and he used to share with the body of Christ in pieces, but he actually ended up writing everything in this one book. It became very demanding, and he just blessed the body of Christ. So this book is what I'm going to be teaching on tonight, and the title for tonight is going to be Return to Your Weapons of Warfare. Okay. Church, the enemy has come with a strong force to completely weaken the body of Christ. He has come undetected in so many ways, wounding us over and over again. He has designed so many traps for us to trip and fall into, and now the church is in deception, sitting in the background when we should be in the forefront, fighting the enemy on every side. It makes you wonder how, why. Satan wants to finish what he started, and that is to take the body of Christ and others completely out before the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." This message is going to reveal the weapons, or some weapons, that God wants us to return to in this season. And as you hear the message and they jump into your spirit, just let God minister to you so you can have a revelation about how to use these weapons for you this season. So Rick Joyner starts off his first chapter right away with the evil army. He said, "I saw a demonic army so large that it stretched as far as I could see. It was separated into divisions, with each carrying a different banner. The foremost and most powerful divisions were pride, self-righteousness, respectability, self-ambition, and unrighteous judgment. But the largest of all was jealousy. The leader of this vast army was the accuser of the brethren himself. I knew that there were many more evil divisions beyond my scope of vision, but these were the vanguard of this terrible horde from hell that was now being released against the church." So Rick Joyner says right up front, pride, self-righteousness, respectability, self-ambition, unrighteous judgment, and jealousy was right in the forefront. They were right in the beginning of this evil army. The weapons carried by this horde had names on them. The swords were named intimidation, the spears were named treachery, and the arrows were named accusations, gossip, slander, and fault-finding. Now, right there, the accusation, gossip, slander, and fault-finding, these are so big right now. I had to come out of agreement with some of them myself, to be honest. Scouts and smaller companies of demons with such names as rejection, bitterness, impatience, unforgiveness, and lust were sent in advance of this army to prepare the main attack. Rick Joyner said, "I knew in my heart that the church had never faced anything like this before." Now, scouts are like soldiers that are sent in advance to be sent out to actually seek information on their enemy. So we're the enemy to the enemy. And he basically had all these scouts come and I want to say basically check on us to see our movements, to see, you know, all that we were doing, and set up an attack for us. Now, the main assignment of this army was to cause division. It was sent to attack every level of relationship, churches with each other, congregations with their pastors, husbands and wives, children and parents, and even children with each other. These are all the things that the body of Christ has experienced. Some of you are aware that I posted on Facebook a few different articles just within 1 week that some men were actually going to try to kill the women, you know, some women, their spouse or their girlfriend. And this happened within 1 week. Christopher's cousin is one of them. Just as an update, Sister Elaine and Sister Grace, Christopher just informed me that she is out of the hospital after getting shot 16 times by her boyfriend, and he killed himself last week, I believe. She's out of the hospital. She is riding around, and she's just blessed. She has to go back for checkups, but that's the latest update. To God be the glory. The scouts were sent to locate the openings in churches, families, or individuals that rejection, bitterness, lust, and etc. could exploit and make a larger breach for the divisions that were coming. The most shocking part of this vision was that the horde was not riding on horses, but on Christians. Most of them were well-dressed, respectable, and had the appearance of being refined and educated. These were Christians who had opened themselves to the powers of darkness to such a degree that the enemy could use them and they would think that they were being used by God. I don't know about y'all, but I had this experience. I did not realize that the enemy was using me, but when I found out, it wasn't good. It just was not good. It makes you think the deception. You know, what else have I done that I'm not aware of? The accuser knows that a house divided cannot stand, and this army represented his ultimate attempt to bring such complete division to the church that she would completely fall from grace. As Rick Joyner watched the evil army and all that the army was doing to the church, the voice of the Lord came to him saying, "This is the beginning of the enemy's last day army. This is Satan's ultimate deception, and his ultimate power of destruction is released when he uses Christians to attack other Christians. Throughout the ages, he has used this army, but never has he been able to capture so many to be used for his evil purposes. Do not fear. I have an army too. You must now stand and fight, because there is no longer any place to hide from this war." I'm going to say that again. "You must now stand and fight, because there is no longer any place to hide from this war. You must fight for my kingdom, for truth, and for those who have been deceived." So this is not just God saying that we have to heal the church. We have to go out to anyone who's deceived, anybody who is not walking in the truth. We have to actually extend that information. Now the battle begins. Rick Joyner turned and saw the army of the Lord behind them. There were thousands of soldiers, but we were still greatly outnumbered. Only a small number were fully dressed in their armor, so that most were only partially protected. A large number were already wounded. Most of those who had all their armor still had very small shields, which I knew would not protect them from the onslaught that was coming. How many times has God told us to clothe ourselves in the armor, the full armor? I think Sister Nancy or Brother Brett did a teaching on the full armor. Sister Nancy, yes. That's how important it is to us. It's clear that this piece of weapon that God has given us is used to protect us. Ephesians 6:10-18 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, Rick Joyner made a statement earlier and said, most of these who had all of their armor still had a very small shield, which he knew would not be able to protect them from the onslaught. That means that they had very small faith. He saw it, he understood, and he wanted to do something about it. He's saying the army had little faith. And didn't God just speak to us about faith? I believe last week through Pastor Barbara that we had to get our faith up like never before. The majority of these soldiers were women and children. Now, this is the army of the Lord. And Rick Joyner explains their nature. These seemed to be very happy people and were playing games, singing songs, feasting, and roaming about from one little camp to the next. It reminded me of the atmosphere of Woodstock. I tried to raise my voice above the clamor to warn them that it was not the time for this, that the battle was about to begin, but only as few could even hear my voice. Those who did give me the peace sign and said they did not believe in war and that the Lord would not let anything bad happen to them. I tried to explain that the Lord had given us armor for a reason, but they just retorted that they had come to a place of peace and joy where nothing would happen to them. How many times has Pastor Barber told us we cannot have our heads in the sand, that we have to be well-rounded Christians? Rick Joyner says, "I began praying earnestly for the Lord to increase the faith of those with the armor to help us protect those who were not ready for the battle. A messenger came up to me, gave me a trumpet, and told me to blow it quickly. I did, and those who had on at least some of their armor immediately responded, snapping to attention. More armor was brought to them, which they put on quickly. I noticed that those who had wounds did not put armor over their wounds, but before I could say anything about these, enemy arrows began raining down on us. Everyone who did not have on all of his or her armor was wounded. Those who had not covered their wounds were struck again in the same place." How many people do you know go through the same things over and over? They get attacked in the same area every single time. It's a cycle that goes on and on, but why? Because their wounds are not covered. Their wounds are still open and they are not healed. So this is what happens. Those who were hit by arrows of slander immediately began to slander those who were not wounded. Those who were hit with gossip began to gossip. And soon a major division had been created within our camp. Then vultures swooped down to pick up the wounded to deliver them into the camp of prisoners. The wounded still had sores and could have smitten the vultures easily, but they didn't. They were actually carried off willingly because they were so angry at the rest of us. You know, people get hurt in the church and they willingly leave. They just want to go. The scene among those in the camp behind our army was even worse. There seemed to be total chaos. Thousands lay on the ground wounded and groaning. Many of those who were not wounded just sat in a stupor of unbelief. The wounded and those who sat in unbelief were being quickly carried away by vultures. Some were trying to help the wounded and keep the vultures off of them, but the wounded was so angry they would threaten and drive away those who were trying to help them. Many who were not wounded were simply running as fast as they could from the scene of battle. This first encounter with the enemy was so devastating that I was tempted to join them in their flight. Then, very quickly, some of these began reappearing with full suits of armor on and large shields. The mirth of the party had changed into an awesome resolve. They began to take the places of those who had fallen, and even began forming new ranks to protect their rear and flanks. These brought great courage, and everyone resolved to stand and fight until death. Immediately, three great angels named Faith, Hope, and Love came and stood behind us, and everyone's shield began to grow. We had swords named the Word of God, and arrows were named for biblical truths. We wanted to shoot back, but did not know how to without hitting the Christians that were ridden by the demons. Then it occurred to us that if these Christians were hit with the truth, they would wake up and fight off their oppressors. I fired off a few arrows. Almost all of them hit Christians. However, when the arrow of truth went into them, they did not wake up or fall down wounded. They became enraged. And the demon riding on them grew much larger. This shocked everyone, and we began to feel that this may be an impossible battle to win. But with faith, hope, and love, we were very confident that we could at least hold our own ground. Another angel named Wisdom then appeared and directed us to fight from the mountain behind us. This is very interesting because as I was listening to this, my first thought was, I'm in shock too. I don't understand why everybody acts, enraged when you're spoken the truth. But then the Holy Spirit had took me a little deeper and said, go back and listen to what you heard. Who did the arrows hit? And I said, God, the people, they hit the people. And he said, he brought back a memory to me. I heard Pastor Barbara's voice say, we do not fight the people, we fight the spirit. And I was like, oh, right. So that made sense that they would be enraged because they were supposed to have hit the demons versus the people. And if you take a closer look, right after this, Wisdom appeared and told them to go to the mountain. So some weapons that we just spoke about is faith, hope, and love, and wisdom. Let's talk about faith, hope, and love. Hebrews 11:1 now says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. 1 Timothy 1:14, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Everything goes back to Jesus Christ. Every single thing goes back to Jesus. John 14 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17 says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now, Rick Joyner meets Jesus. The Lord Jesus himself then stood in our midst. He touched each one, then said, I must now share with you what I shared with your brothers after my ascension, the message of my kingdom. The enemy's most powerful army has now been put to flight, but not destroyed. Now it is time for us to march forth with the gospel of my kingdom. The eagles have been released and will go with us. We will take arrows from every level, but I am your sword, and I am your captain. And it is now time for the sword of the Lord to be unsheathed. I then turned and saw the entire army of the Lord was standing in the garden. There were men and women and children from all races and nations, each carrying their banners that moved in the wind with perfect unity. I knew that nothing like this had been seen in the earth before. I knew that the enemy had many more armies and fortresses throughout the earth, but none could stand before this great army. I said almost under my breath, this must be the day of the Lord. The whole host then answered in an awesome thunder, the day of the Lord of hosts has come. We stood in the garden of God under the tree of life. It seemed that the entire army was there, kneeling before the Lord Jesus. He had just given us the charge to return to the battle for the sake of our brothers who were still bound and for the world that he still loved. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The Lord continued his exhortation. I have given you spiritual gifts and power, an increasing understanding of my word and my kingdom. But the greatest weapon that you have been given is the Father's love. As long as you walk in my Father's love, you will never fail. The fruit of this tree is the Father's love, which is manifested in me. This, which is in me, must be your daily bread. The Lord was not what we might consider to be a strikingly handsome appearance, but was rather ordinary. Even so, the grace with which he moved and spoke made him the most attractive person I have ever seen. He was beyond human definition in dignity and nobility. No painting that was sought to capture what he looked like could ever do it, but somehow most of them do resemble him. I began to think of how he was everything that the Father loves and esteems. He truly is full of grace and truth, to the point that it seemed that nothing but grace and truth should ever matter. When I ate the fruit from the tree of life, the thought of every good thing I had ever known seemed to fill my soul. When Jesus spoke, it was the same, only magnified. I never wanted to leave this place. I remembered how I had once thought it must have been born for those angels who did nothing but worship him before the throne. Now I knew that there was nothing more wonderful and exhilarating than simply worshiping him. That would surely be the best part of heaven. If it was hard to believe that I had struggled so much with boredom during worship services, I knew that it was only because I had been almost completely out of touch with reality during those times. Worship in spirit and truth. I was almost overwhelmed with the desire to go back and make up those times during worship when I had allowed my mind to wander or had occupied myself with other things. The desire to express my adoration for him became almost uncontrollable. I had to praise him. As I opened my mouth, I was shocked by the spontaneous worship that erupted from the entire army at the same time. I had almost forgotten that anyone else was there, but we were all in perfect unity. The glorious worship could not be expressed in human language. As we worshiped, a golden glow became to emanate from the Lord. Then there were silver around the gold, then colors, the richness of which I have never seen with my natural eyes, enveloped us all. With this glory, I entered a realm of emotion that I have never experienced before. Somehow, I understood that his glory had been there all along, but when we focus on him the way that we did in worship, we simply begin to see more of his glory. The more intensely we worship, the more glory we beheld. Do you not understand why praise and worship is so important? Rick Joyner said, as they worship, a golden glow began to emanate from the Lord. It pleases the Lord when we worship him so much that colors enveloped around them. How many times have Pastor Barbara shared that God will meet you in praise and worship, that signs, wonders, and miracles will be performed during praise and worship? For a time, I closed my eyes because the glory I was seeing with my heart was as great as I was seeing with my physical eyes. When I opened my eyes, I was surprised to see that the Lord was not there any longer, but a troop of angels were standing where he had been. One of them stepped up to me and said, "Close your eyes." When I did, I beheld the glory of the Lord again, and was greatly relieved. Then the angel explained, "What you see with the eyes of your heart is more real than what you see with your physical eyes." It was for this reason that the Lord told his first disciples that it was better for him to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. The Lord dwells within you. You have taught this many times, but now you must live it, for you have eaten of the tree of life. The angel then began to lead me back to the gate. I protested that I did not want to leave. Looking surprised, the angel took me by the shoulders and looked me in my eyes. That is when I recognized him as the angel Wisdom. "You never have to leave this garden. This garden is in your heart because the Creator himself is within you. You have desired the best part to worship and sit in his presence forever, and it will never be taken away from you." I closed my eyes and tried to see the Lord again, but couldn't. When I opened my eyes, Wisdom was staring at me. With great patience, he continued, You have tasted the heavenly realm, and no one ever wants to go back to the battle once they do. No one ever wants to leave the manifest presence of the Lord. When the Apostle Paul came here, he struggled for the rest of his life as to whether he should stay and labor for the Lord or return here to enter into his inheritance. But his inheritance was magnified the longer he stayed. Now that you have the heart of a true worshiper, you will always want to be here. And you can when you enter into true worship. The more focus you are on him, the more glory you will see, regardless of where you are. Now, this is Wisdom speaking to Rick Joyner. As I opened my eyes, Wisdom was still gripping my shoulders. "I am the primary gift that has been given to you for your work," he said. "I will show you the way, and I will keep you on it, but only love will keep you faithful. The highest wisdom is to love the Lord. The other half of love. There are times to adore the Lord, wisdom continued, and there are times to honor him with the greatest fear and respect. Just as there is a time to plant and a time to reap, and it is wisdom to know the time for each. True wisdom knows the times and seasons of God. I brought you here because it was time to worship the Lord in the glory of his love. I am now taking you to another place because it is time for you to worship him in fear of his judgment. Until you know both, we can be separated from each other. Rick Joyner says, do you mean that if I had stayed back there in that glorious worship, I would have lost you? I asked in belief. Yes, I would have always visited with you when I could, but we would have rarely crossed paths. It is hard to leave such glory and peace, but that is not the whole revelation of the King. He is both the Lion of Judah and the Lamb. To the spiritual children, he is the Lamb. To the maturing, he is the Lion. To the fully mature, he is both the Lion and the Lamb. Revelation 5 says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. I then heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb to be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we lived in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Rick Joyner met Apostle Paul in one of his visions, and this is what happened. I felt compelled to look at those who were sitting on the thrones we were passing. As I did, my gaze fell upon a man I knew was the Apostle Paul. As I looked back at the Lord, he motioned for me to speak to him. I have so looked forward to this, I said, feeling awkward but excited by this meeting. I know that you are aware of how much your letters have guided the church, and they are probably still accomplishing more than all the rest of us put together. You are still one of the greatest lights on earth. Thank you, he said graciously. But you do not understand just how much we have looked forward to meeting all of you. You are soldiers in the last battle. You are the ones everyone here is waiting to meet. We only saw these days dimly through our limited prophetic vision, but you have been chosen to live in them. You are soldiers preparing for the last battle. You are the ones we have all been waiting for. Rick Joyner said, as I pondered this, he watched me closely. Then he continued, there are two things we attained in our life that were lost very quickly by the church. They have not yet been recovered, but you must recover them. What are they? I inquired, feeling that what he was about to say was more than an addendum to what he had already shared with me. You must recover the ministry and the message, he said empathetically. I looked at the Lord, and he nodded his affirmation, adding, it is right that Paul should say this to you. Until this time, he has been the most faithful with both of these. Please explain, I implored Paul. All right, he replied. Except for a few places in the world where there are great persecutions or difficulties, we can hardly recognize either the ministry or the message that is being preached today. Therefore, the church is now but a phantom of what it was even in our time, and we were far from all we were called to be. When we served, being in ministry was the greatest sacrifice that one can make. And this reflected the message of the greatest sacrifice that was made, the cross. The cross is the power of God, and it is the center of all we are called to live by. You now have so little power to transform the minds and hearts of the believers because you do not live and do not preach the cross. Therefore, we have difficulty seeing much difference between the church and the heathen. That is not the gospel or the salvation which we were entrusted. You must return to the cross. With those words, he squeezed my shoulders like a father and then returned to his seat. Now, as I was doing this message, I had a whole bunch of more information and I thought I was going to go over on time, but I realized I may be a little short. But this book gives you so much revelation about God, about the war, between the army of the Lord and how they're wounded, how they can fight back, how the enemy has, shoots arrows at, the wounded ones, and how it's just a very dramatic thing. And if we don't get this together, we're going to be in the same boat as some of these wounded warriors. I really feel like God wants us to, like the title said, return back to your weapons of warfare. The weapons of warfare that he shared with me was the faith, the hope, the love, the armor of God, and wisdom. We don't have these things, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. This whole message is pretty much based off of the love of God. The songs that we listened to tonight was all about the love of God and lifting Jesus up. And I mean, it's just such a very powerful thing that God is trying to do in this season. And I think that he's trying to get us back to war, to fight, and to learn how to defeat the enemy on a deeper level. So that's my message for tonight. Father, I just thank you for what you have done. I pray, Father, that you will give revelation to each and every one that has heard about parts of your truth about this Final Quest book from your son, Rick Joyner. Father, I pray that you will touch them and take them deeper into the things that you want them to see as they go forth and leave tonight in their prayer closet or as they're driving, you know, headed home and praying for loved ones and doing all the things that is in their spirit to do. I just pray that you will bring them to a place where they will understand that the weapons are for our benefits, that the weapons are there to help us, and that they need to be restored back into our normal routine. I thank you, Father, for what you are doing inside of each and every one of us. And I pray that you will go forth and we will be in victory on every side of the enemy, that we will be so built and strengthened by your word and by your love and all of the things that you've spoken about tonight, so that we could go forth with a second breath of fresh wind and defeat the enemy. I really feel like God wants to restore revelation to you individually in regards to the weapons that you have personally that maybe you have forgotten or maybe that you are not aware of. So if you want to come up to the altar to receive that touch from God, please do so.